Good morning again. Wow. That worked. Good job, Tim. I hope you don't mind my sharing some time today with the Madrigals. Oh, it's always a joy when we can have them join us. Last Sunday morning, Pastor Jeff introduced our Christmas series, Christmas Is. And he did a remarkable job, I thought, of kicking it off with the message, Christmas is coming, and reminded us Christmas is coming again. Today, in the time I have left, I want to continue our series with the message, Christmas is messy. Has it ever happened to you? Something starts out so good, so right. A relationship, a new job, a move, or a dozen other things. So many people are on board with it. They are supporting you, encouraging you, and, well, they're happy about it for you. And then, wow. Seemingly out of nowhere, very unexpected, out of the proverbial left field, everything gets turned upside down. And everyone who was so excited turns on you. You didn't see it coming. It's almost unbelievable. It takes your breath away and leaves you wondering, how did this happen? How did it get this far? And things get messy. And you try to make things right again, but it seems like everything you say or everything you try to do is misunderstood or taken the wrong way and only makes things worse. Has it ever happened to you? Well, believe it or not, such is the case of Christmas. And I'm not talking just about today. Oh, we could preach for hours on how messed up Christmas is today, couldn't we? And I'm sure each of you would sit there listening intently on the edge of your seat, clinging to my every word for hours. No, it's not just about Christmas and how messed up it is today. It has been that way from the very beginning. Christmas started out so good, so right. There were angels and miracles and signs. And while there are those who got it, there were oh so many who did not. But let's look for a brief moment at some who did get it. First of all, Mary got it. Without rereading the account again, I've listed the scriptures there beside each of these in your bulletin. You can find those in the scriptures as you go along this week. But without rereading the account again, Luke tells us in the first chapter of his gospel that Mary was a virgin when the angel Gabriel came to her with the news she was going to have a very special child. She was going to be the mother of the Savior of the world, and God Himself was going to be His Father. She was going to give birth to the Son of God. Gabriel told her to call Him Jesus. He will be great, and He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give Him the throne of His father David, and He will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Wow. And though at first she was troubled at Gabriel's greeting, she got it. And when their conversation was through, she said, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." Mary got it. Elizabeth got it too. While telling Mary her news, Gabriel mentioned Elizabeth. He pointed out the miracle of her pregnancy as well, saying, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child, first of all, he says, in her old age. Now, I'm not so sure that's a good announcement. Your relative Elizabeth is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is now in her sixth month. Wow. With that as an illustration, Gabriel reassured Mary, no word from God will ever fail. Well, overwhelmed with that news, Mary headed down to Judea to see Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the Bible says, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in a loud voice, she exclaimed, Lawsy, Mary, it's good to see you. No, I threw that in. She exclaimed, blessed are you among women. And blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill His promises to her. Elizabeth got it. And there were others who got it as well. Simeon got it. As required by the law of Moses, when Jesus was of the age to be consecrated to the Lord as Mary and Joseph's firstborn, they took Jesus to Jerusalem to present Him at the temple. And Luke introduces us to a man named Simeon. We're told he was righteous and devout. We're told the Holy Spirit was on him. And in fact, the Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he would not die before he had seen the long-promised and long-awaited-for Messiah. Luke says, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms, and he got it. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen the salvation. Simeon got it. And I guess to be fair, Joseph got it, finally. At first, remember, when he found out Mary was pregnant and knowing it was not his, it was understandably shocking news. How many of you remember the little film clip from last week? Wasn't that priceless? It's obvious he was unwilling to believe Mary's story of an angel and God's favor and God's child, blah, blah, blah. He wanted to divorce her quietly. But then, while Joseph was sleeping, in a dream, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. He reassured Joseph what Mary had told him was indeed true. And the angel even told him what to name Mary's son, Jesus. And when he woke up from his dream, Joseph got it. And he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him to do. And without going in through the whole Christmas story account again, the shepherds got it. And don't forget that with a prophecy centuries old and with due diligence of research, wise men, magi from a distant country got it too. But as wonderful as all that is of those who got it, there were many who did not get it. And when people don't get this whole Christian thing, when people don't get this whole Christmas thing, this whole Jesus thing, this whole Savior and sinner thing, things get messy. Remember Simeon we just spoke about? Well, in that account in Luke chapter 2, it says Mary and Joseph marveled at what Simeon had said. And then, that's verse 33. And then in verse 34, he talks about how messy it's going to be, though. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." John's gospel, I think, tells the horrible truth of Christmas getting messy when he says in the prologue to his words, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." The message says it a little more bluntly. He came to his own people, but they didn't want him. Herod didn't get it. The news of the birth of the King of Kings only made Herod jealous. Things began to get messy. His heart was troubled and filled with deception, telling the wise men to find this newborn king and then come tell him so he could go and worship it too. But being warned in a dream that Herod was less than truthful, the wise men went home another way, and that only made Herod more furious. So much so, Herod ordered the slaughter of every baby and toddler in and around Bethlehem, 2 years old and under. The Savior of the world, the Son of God, and Herod perceived him only as a threat to his throne that needed to be destroyed. To be quite honest, the world didn't get it. Verse 3 tells us the news of a king being born not only disturbed Herod, but all Jerusalem with him. The world today still doesn't get it. But let me close quickly, the time we have left here, with an insight, a warning, and an invitation. First of all, the insight. What made the difference between those who got it and those who didn't? I think it's pretty clear to me, those who got it had a word from God. An angel, Gabriel, appeared to Zechariah with the news of Elizabeth's coming pregnancy. The angel Gabriel appeared to Mary with the news of her virgin birth. The angel appeared to Joseph with the affirmation of Mary's immaculate conception. The Holy Spirit had revealed to Simeon he would not die before he saw the Messiah. An angel, later accompanied by a host of angels, appeared to the shepherds announcing the birth of the Savior. Daniel had left the Babylonians a prophecy of the Savior's birth, which the wise men studied and followed, and an angel warned them of Herod's plot. They had a word from God. Well, listen carefully. We have a word from God. We have a word from God today. Many twist it, or in today's vernacular, put a spin on it to make it say what they want it to say. Many misunderstand it, many ignore it, many reject it, many deny it, and many want to ban it. But it is still the Word of God. It is still the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. It is still sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing apart soul and spirit. It is still a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It is still inerrant. It is still infallible. It is still imperishable. It is still God-breathed. And it is still still profitable and useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in righteousness. We have a word from God. And only through His Word will this world ever get it when it comes to Christmas. Here's a warning. Once you get it, once you accept it, once you surrender your heart to it, things will tend to get messy. You will discover many people around you who still don't get it. People at work, at school, in our government, in our laws, and perhaps even in your family. You will discover the tolerance is meant for everything and everyone except for your faith, your Bible, your church, your God. You will discover your beliefs about the Christ of Christmas are belittled in media, in art, in music, in education, and in business. You will discover that taking a stand for Christ is getting more and more difficult in this one nation under God. You will discover we are living in a time when many around us truly believe that God is impotent at best and at worst dead or never existed at all. But here's the invitation. In spite of all of that, you are invited to count the cost. Know what you're getting into. And then join the many who do get it. It's not about a baby in a manger. It's about a Savior. And that is great tidings of great joy for all people. Join the many who do get it and accept the Christ of Christmas anyway. Follow Him. Live for Him. You are invited to repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, to take up a new life. But understand that means you are invited to take up your cross daily and to stand up for Jesus. He really is the reason for the season. Father God, this morning we see many who got it, and we are witnessing many today who still get it. And for that we give you our praise, but we also understand that we're living in a world much like the world of Jesus that didn't get it. He came into His own. He came to be the awaited Messiah. He came to be the answer, the solution to every problem and sin in their world. And they rejected Him. And here we are in America, 2015. You are still alive and well. You are still the answer. You are still the one who's waiting to heal our land. And in spite of the headlines that God is not fixing this, you're simply doing what we ask you to. We've asked you to get out of our schools. We've asked you to get out of our government. We've asked you to get out of our laws. We've asked you to get out of our land. We've pushed you into the church house on the corner on the weekends. And that's where you are. My prayer is that we will hear the invitation to really get it. This isn't about a church thing. This isn't about a religion thing. This is about a God who loved the world so much, He gave His one and only Son so that whoever might believe in Him might not perish, but have eternal life. Father, that's the Christmas message we need to spread to this world. That will be the cure to those things in our lives and in our world that ail us. I know there are many in this room this morning who get it. But perhaps there's some who haven't yet. But they want to so desperately. They want to find that answer when their world seems so upside down. When things were so right, now seem so wrong, and things are just topsy-turvy. Help them to just stop, to be still, and to know that You are God. We thank You for Your Word. Let us not only read it and study it, let us live it. If there's any who has a decision today, Father, let them get it. In Jesus' name, amen.